Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. We're making our way through a Monday. And, boy, you know, you and I had pretty exciting weekends, Matt.
We did, yes.
You and I got the chance to work together on Saturday for the Nick Abraham Saturday Sports Wrap-Up Show. I had a very exciting Friday night calling that Keystone buzzer beater and their win over Buckeye. But our weekends paled in comparison to that of our next guest. Because if you watched the Super Bowl last night, and I'm guessing many of you listening did, you all saw the work of this man, the one and only Mr. Chad Meyer, who was working the camera for the main camera angle coming down from the sideline last night. Chad, how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic, guys. How about yourselves?
Lovely. You know, we're just, we're not doing as well as you.
Yeah, no complaints.
I mean, seeing all the A-listers at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis this weekend, and I would imagine for you a pretty awesome experience. Did the sub-zero temperatures take away from the circus of the weekend at all?
You know what? They really didn't. I mean, a lot of my time was spent inside the stadium doing all kinds of pre- and post-production stuff and setting up. But I got a chance to hobnob with some people. You know, I didn't get to chat them up very long, but it was definitely a good experience, an incredible experience. Yeah. Not a good, but incredible.
Saw Bradley Cooper. Was it? You get the opportunity to rub elbows with Bradley Cooper in your free time?
I passed by him. He passed by me in the hall because we were doing part of our pre-production stuff is we were doing little interviews with a lot of the players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did shake hands and say hi with Tom Brady, Alshon Jeffrey. But I mean, it was just so quick. Everybody was just in and out. But then you know, after one of the interviews, they got out, and I saw Bradley Cooper coming down the hallway with Jeffrey Lurie, and I go, "Whoa, okay, hey guy, how you doing?"
Wow.
He just waved at me, and that was it. That was the extent of our conversation. I'm pretty sure we're best friends now.
Right. I'm positive. I think you might have said that. I could see his lips moving when I was watching the Super Bowl talking to the owner of the Eagles, and I think he said, "That Chad guy, he's a good guy." I think I saw that.
Yeah, you definitely did.
And I'm sure somewhere along the way, he probably secretly admitted that the third hangover was the best hangover in the entire series because King John Goodman was one of the key components in there, right? I'm pretty sure he dropped it in there, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he fit that into our conversation for sure. And obviously, I lobbied for it because John Goodman's a legend.
Yes. Doggone right he is. We'll get back to some of the cool people that you met along the way, but you sent me a picture not too long after your arrival on Thursday night about this legendary dish that they claim to have created up there, the Juicy Lucy. Some know what it is. Some have no idea what we're talking about here. So for those that don't know what a Juicy Lucy is, can you enlighten us, and was it as good as advertised?
First off, it was incredible. It was probably one of the juiciest, pun intended, burgers I've ever had in my life. Basically, what it is, it's very simple. They take the patty, they put slices of cheese inside the patty, and then they fold it over. They roll it up into like one big ball. They don't flatten the patty back out, and then they throw it on the grill and cook it up. And I mean, there's no needed extra spices, no nothing to it. Maybe a little salt and pepper. They put it on the grill, and then it comes out. And then you cut it in half. It's customary up in Minneapolis to cut it in half, split it so you can see the cheese ooze out, and then you wrap it around the bun, take a bite, and that's your Juicy Lucy experience.
Wow, that sounds pretty enticing. That might be a daily food for thought item somewhere down the road. I've got to ask, was that the best item that you ate this weekend, or were there some others that ranked up there as well?
Well, that was definitely the best. I mean, anytime I go to a different city, I always like to try, you know, the local stuff. You know, I don't want to go to, you know, P.F. Chang's or Applebee's because that's something I can get back at home. You know, I definitely want to know what the locals eat, and this was definitely one of them. But another thing I had, well, oh, my God, guys, this was called a hot dish. They call it a hot dish. It's in a baking pan. They made it very clear you have to cook it in a baking pan, and they fill it with tater tots, cheese, vegetables, bacon, and then they pour a can of soup in there to use as a binding agent, and then it comes out in a baked casserole of delicious. Like it was just I don't even know what else to describe it like, but it's something like your mom would make at home, but it was just different having it up in a city you'd never been to before.
Sure.
And it was made with, you know, the key ingredient they always say is it's made with love. So it's definitely made with love for sure.
What do you eat that for? Is that a breakfast, lunch, dinner meal?
That is probably more of a lunch.
Okay.
That's when we had it for lunch. At least that's when I would eat it.
Sounds good.
No, makes perfect sense. Again, we're talking with Chad Meyer. You know Chad. Chad's on our football broadcasts all throughout the high school football season. Chad worked the main camera last night, so you saw Chad's work. And see, here's what I would equate that to. I thought you did a wonderful job with that, but working the camera the way you did last night, you know, it's kind of a thankless job, I think, in many ways. It's almost like when your power works, you're never going to go out of your way to call the power company to say, thank you so much for keeping my power on. But when your power goes out, immediately you make that phone call. You're quick to criticize. It's almost like this, right? If you do extraordinarily well, and I thought you did fantastic last night, nobody bats an eye, nobody gives you an attaboy, but if you miss a play and you don't do well, well, all of a sudden people are breathing down your neck saying, why in the world did you miss this play? So was it nerve-wracking at all for you handling the camera last night, knowing how many people were tuned in?
It was definitely – my adrenaline was definitely up. As far as the actual work to it, it's nothing I haven't done before, but just because of how big of the moment it was, my adrenaline was definitely up. But you're absolutely right, Bull, in that it's kind of like offensive linemen, too. If you never hear offensive linemen, broadcasters calling offensive linemen's names, they're doing their job. And that's exactly what I was into last night. And, you know, at the start of the game, like I said, my adrenaline was up. But once I got into it and, got into my normal routine of shooting, you know, it was just like riding a bike.
Sure. I was just going to say something that's not anything you haven't done before, no question about that. Just kind of wonder if there was any extra added pressure because of the Super Bowl. And obviously, there's a whole different magnitude involved there. I want to get back to some of the cool things, though, that happened off camera, because I think everybody's just so fascinated with the circus that this whole weekend has become. And I think you could extend that to the whole week before, not just narrowing it down to the weekend, but What do you think were some of the coolest people you met? You mentioned you shook hands and had a meeting with Tom Brady. You saw Bradley Cooper. Who were some of the other really cool people that you had a chance to sit down, talk to, or at least rub shoulders with this weekend?
Al Michaels was definitely a really nice guy. Al Michaels was, you could tell he's just an old, wily veteran broadcaster. He couldn't have been nicer. I mean, I had to frame him up for the still shot at the beginning of the game. What they call it, a two shot at the beginning of the game, where, you know, where they make their opening remarks, and, you know, we chatted up a little bit, and he was just one of the most polite human beings I've ever met in my life. Chris Collinsworth, on the other hand, well, that's a different story. That's a story I can probably tell you off the air here, but Chris Collinsworth was a different gentleman himself.
Sure.
I saw Mike Trout. Mike Trout was a very nice guy, big Philly fan.
Hey, he's from New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, shook his hand, said hi. That's the thing. I didn't really get to chat a lot of people up for very long, but there are some cool people that I definitely met and seemed very nice. Yeah, I definitely, as soon as Tom got done with the interview, we went out and I saw Giselle, and boy, oh, boy. He went out to his. It was Giselle was standing out in the hallway with his kids, and I got to tell you guys, for these women, these models that you see on TV, that are all dolled up, and how beautiful that they look. They're just as beautiful in person. They're even more beautiful in person.
Lived up to expectations, huh?
What's that?
Lived up to expectations, huh?
Yeah, sure did, sure did. And you know, not much makeup on. You know, in their natural state, they're just as beautiful. It's incredible.
Oh, that's cool. I'm curious. I know you were working a majority of the time. You were indoors. You were inside the dome getting ready for the game. But from what you saw, the atmosphere around there, because I know a lot of people were curious, Minneapolis, this wasn't their first ever Super Bowl being hosted, but people always want to jump to, what, it's negative 30 degrees down there. But from my understanding, from what I saw on television, NBC was there all week. I was watching the hockey games. They were doing their pregame stuff from there. It seemed like everybody was having a really good time, and it seemed like a really great atmosphere for the Super Bowl. Did you get that impression, or do you think it could have been better?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And Minnesotans, I guess, I think that's what you call them.
I think so, yeah, that's right. You got to carry that Minnesotans. O out, Minnesotans.
Yeah. Minnesotans, yeah. Yeah, excuse me, Minnesotans.
He's at Mall of America right now, so he's got to be careful. He can't say that too loud.
Yeah. We're going to get him beat up, sorry.
I went and found the quietest corner I could for that. So. The politeness, you know, the stereotype of them is how nice they are, and it couldn't have been more true. I mean, it's very welcoming people, very homely people, very nice. And they provided a very nice atmosphere. Yeah, you guys are right. A very, very nice atmosphere. You know, there was definitely, from what I saw, there were a lot more Eagle fans than Patriot fans, especially in the festivities outside.
Sure.
Of the stadium.
Well, I imagine Patriots fans are running out of money. They got to do it every other year or every year.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. And as far as the cold goes, I mean, once you get used to it, I mean, especially once you have had enough adult beverages in you, you really don't feel it anyway.
Well, apparently there was that one guy in Philadelphia that wasn't feeling it, or, I mean, at least he didn't feel it for a little while, because not only was he outside in the cold, but let's just say he took a bite out of something that I don't think the three of us would even think about taking a bite out of. There was some horse stuff that was on the side of the road. He lost a bet, and he had to take a bite out of it. Ugh. Yuck.
I did. I saw that
you
video.
You did see
too.
That. Okay. Yuck.
Philly fans are a different breed, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you saw that firsthand this weekend. No question about that. Just curious, you know, as casual observers from the outside looking in, you know, we see the finished product, but I know it gets really chaotic. You know, you're not just sitting up there working the camera. You're listening to a lot of other different conversations. The Super Bowl television production is a gigantic production. How hectic and how crazy does it get throughout the course of the game? And because, again, you're listening to so many different conversations that the casual observer doesn't have any information on.
That's kind of when I start shooting, and when the broadcast goes to air, it's a little different in that there's so much content, or either a bailout, you know, in case the game's not that good, or what have you. But there's, once the game is in play, it's really just like any other football broadcast. A lot of the other conversations happen when you're at commercial break. It's like, okay, all right, one, I need you to get this section. Two, I need you to go up and see if Justin Timberlake's ready. Hey, runners, I need you to take a battery on over to camera four. That's when most of the chaos happens. When the game is actually in play, it's just like a normal game.
So during halftime, were you shooting Timberlake? What were you doing? Like, what exactly goes on in your position during halftime?
Well, luckily, I got a break. Oh, at okay. There were some cameras that had to stay on. Like there was a couple of they call it RF cameras, which means the cameras that are wireless and can move about and get on the field. And then there was a drone camera operator that was used for part of Timberlake's show too, just because there were so many moving parts to it. But luckily, I got a break during halftime.
All right, well, we've covered pregame, we've covered the game, we've covered halftime. We haven't gotten to a postgame just yet. What was the most interesting thing that you witnessed during the postgame show, or the postgame coverage, rather?
The postgame was incredible to see, just because if you've seen your first Lombardi Trophy presentation, it's definitely a very cool event to see. As soon as that clock hit zero and that confetti came out, you see just crews and crews of people just rushing out to bring that stage out, because they have to get on the field and be ready that next break, because it goes quick. It's definitely quick. They want to keep the time to a minimum because they know they're under a crunch. They got to get to interviews. They got to get the talent out there. So it's that part was pretty chaotic too. I'll definitely say that. But seeing that Lombardi Trophy up close and seeing that the interviews happened, the presentation happened, and just how elated everybody was, that atmosphere was just, if you've never been around it, it's very kind of indescribable because it's loud. It was very loud in there. Everybody kept going nuts. No Eagles fans left, I swear, until about half an hour after the game was over, after the presentation was over. So it was something, a sight to behold, guys. It really was.
Does it compare to anything? I know you were there when the Cavs won the NBA championship. Does it compare to anything else you've been around, or is it just a whole nother level?
It's definitely a whole nother level when you're out in the stadium. I was, with the Cavs not being at home, I was in the control room at the queue underneath the arena, so I wasn't out in the arena when they won. So out there, but out being out live in the bowl, it was incredible. I definitely had chills up and down my spine.
Whether it was game related or whether it was work related, or I know you didn't have a whole lot of spare time, what was the most interesting thing that you witnessed, like kind of a wow moment for you throughout the course of the entire weekend? Again, given all the things that you saw, all the people that you worked with, that you met, whether it was good or bad, what was the biggest wow moment for you throughout the course of the weekend?
Honestly, this isn't that exciting, Bull. But it's with how cold it is up there. And Minneapolis is one of those cities where everything's within walking distance. You can walk everywhere. You don't really need to take a car if you don't need to with some of the things that you're doing. But with how cold it is outside, they've built these heated skyways downtown that can get you to almost anywhere you need to.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah, heated walkways. Like, it'll get you, from my hotel to the stadium to, if I was going out to eat somewhere or wherever. There was almost a heated skyway for anywhere I needed to get to. It was almost like their subway system where you could get where you could get to where you needed to.
Don't they, like, take you through, like, office buildings and stuff, too, and you can actually see people working and whatnot?
Yeah.
That's
crazy. You
do.
So let me get this straight. Coming from the guy that just got done filming the Super Bowl, coming from a guy who had the chance to shake hands and meet with Tom Brady, got the chance to see Tom Brady's wife, met Al Michaels, spoke with Al Michaels, worked with Al Michaels, also rubbed shoulders with Bradley Cooper. Given all of that, the most exciting or the biggest wow moment for you throughout the course of the weekend was getting a chance to travel through the heated skyways?
That's right. Hey, I told you, I didn't get to talk to him long enough for it to be any cooler.
Okay, fair enough. No, I thought that was bizarre, but you warned me before you went on that tangent. You did warn me that you didn't think it was all that exciting, but that was the coolest thing to you, as it stood out this weekend. Well, yeah. We know you're busy, my good man. We appreciate you giving us some of your time, and we wish you the safest of travels on your way back to Cleveland. Thanks again.
Thank you, sir. Good to talk to you guys.
Great to talk to you as well. Again, Chad Meyer joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You saw Chad's work last night. He was working the main camera angle, the one that you probably saw close to 90% of the time at Super Bowl 52. All right, we need to step aside and take a break. Matt Douglas and I will return after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.